Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we are continuing our conversation with pastor and author Lathan Kraft. He is a pastor out at Grace Church in Tracy, California. And yesterday we addressed the reason why he wrote this book called The Leper in the Church. He did a lot of research, talked with several people that struggle with different mental illnesses. And as you know, that's one of the passions of mine and Hope Is Here ministry that we do here in Central Kentucky. And if you missed yesterday's program, really want to encourage you to check out the podcast of that program. It's only 14 minutes long. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. But today, the topic that we're going to address is the mental illness of depression. And, we talked just briefly on that yesterday, but didn't really go in much detail. It's one thing to write about something, but I've always heard John Maxwell say, don't ever buy a book from somebody that tries to tell you to do something unless they've experienced it. And I've shared my story before with struggling some depression, but you also have some personal experience with that, don't you, Lathan?
Certainly do. Yeah, I struggle with depression for quite a bit of time, and it was something that I was just a church member. I was a young kid. I was about 15, 16 was when my depression really had an all-time low. And I talk about that as a first-hand account without my name in it in the book.
Well, that's one of the things I like about it, that you're real transparent about that. And, of course, a lot of times people will be told that, what is depression? And I'm glad to know that you actually address that in your book. Talk about a little bit for maybe people that just, they've heard the word depression. They know people are kind of down or whatever. But actually, what is depression?
Depression is what I would like to say. I like to call a sand on the fire or water on the fire. Depression is basically, it takes away all of your passion. It takes away all of your hope. It just makes you feel like you're surviving for every second, where you thought at one point that you're surviving for every day. So it really is just an overwhelming sadness, melancholiness, just a posture and an attitude of everything is a chore. What once was your passion is now a chore. What once was just the thing that gave you energy now just takes away your energy. And it's just this mentality of, you can call it Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, of, man, everything is just rough, and you're walking through this fog of just complete and total sadness and darkness.
Well, obviously, if you're struggling with depression, the best thing to do is to start with your faith and prayer and reading scripture or maybe even journaling. But sometimes, unfortunately, that just doesn't solve it. And I know that you shared mm-hmm. about that in your personal experience that the Bible went from a love letter to a rule book that even became something that kind of resembled cough syrup to you. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm a lover of the Bible, and I still am, obviously, and I still was when I was depressed. It just, like I said a minute ago, it became more of a chore instead of like a early morning habit that I would do of just spending time with Jesus every morning. I would force myself out of bed, like peel my body off the sheets and just do it. And honestly, some days when I was depressed, I didn't feel the presence of God at all. And Elijah in the Bible can relate to that of, man, I just don't want to be here. I don't know where God is. I just know that I don't want to do this. And so the Bible that was once alive, the Bible that was once speaking every second into my soul, all of a sudden from nothing, seemingly nothingness, became a book that was just as if I was reading a textbook for a class, and me forcing myself to read it every day was like I was taking medicine and not just enjoying the life-giving message of truth that's found in the Bible.
Well, you address depression comes in many types, and you talked about two of the types, situational depression and clinical depression. Tell us what those two are.
Situational depression is kind of what the title is. It's depression based on circumstances or based on things that have happened in your life. So I know, Greg, your story is insane, and you can relate to this. If you lose a job, you lose a marriage, you lose finances, everything like that. And then you become depressed. That's depression based on what happened in your life that has led you to that moment. On the other hand, chemical depression is literally an imbalance, or clinical depression is an imbalance in your chemicals in your brain that just forces you into depression. And the really the only thing that can cure that is medication that can subside it, can't really cure it, but it's an imbalance in your brain that you can just be depressed all the time or at random spurts. And it seems just like your life is based around your depression spurts and not life-giving things.
Well, you shared in there in page 40 of your book that symptoms of depression include irritability, fatigue, unexpected physical illnesses like headaches, digestive problems. You know, sometimes when people that might have a hobby like games, reading, or volunteering can actually become avoidance mechanisms to a depressed person, because a lot of times when you're depressed, you kind of like to escape, don't you?
Yep, that's the one thing you want to do is you want to escape. You want to go away from yourself. You honestly want to be a person that may be looking at yourself, but you don't want to be inside your head. And so you will do everything you can to escape reality. And that may be just what we call medicators. Could be food, could be social media, could be screen time, could be porn. There are so many different things that are medicators and escapers for people that are depressed, which they're only doing it to simply escape what they're feeling in their head. And they do it excessively, and they do it nonstop, and because they feel like maybe, just maybe, it'll go away if they keep escaping.
Well, you also addressed in your book that, you know, it's important to keep in mind that not every depressed person does isolate themselves, and that there's just, sometimes they're just kind of difficult to pick out in a church setting, aren't they?
Yeah, there are some people, unfortunately, wear their depression very well and very beautifully. I mean, you hear stories all the time of pastors, of people in the church, of church leaders, of just everyday people who died by suicide, but the thing in news will say they were the happiest person alive. They seemed so joyful. I would have never known. I mean, I'm a pastor, and just 2 days ago, I received a story of somebody in our setting who I thought, no way, not that person. Just because the way they carry themselves, they don't isolate. They actually want to be more in community because they want to be less known. And so they get in large social gatherings to be a person, but to not be human. And so that's another. It could be two extremes. It could be in the middle. But a lot of depressed people wear it really well, enough to the point of, I'm going to be in community and nobody will know what I'm going through because I'm really good at hiding it. And I want to act like I'm okay, so I don't have to talk about it.
Well, the good news is that, you know, I think one of the lies that Satan feeds people is like, well, you're the only one that struggles with depression. And yet in the Bible, the good news today is that there were people in the Bible that God used mightily that they also had some struggles with depression. And you talk about that on page 42 in your book.
Yep. I mean, the obvious person that comes to mind when you think of depression is somebody like Job, who God took everything away from him. And God told Satan, you can do everything you want to, just don't kill him. And we see a chapter after chapter after chapter of Job losing everything and him going into a space of, man, like, what is going on? Where is God? Where are you? This is awful. And we just feel his emotion in the whole book, and he goes to his friends looking for advice. His friends don't give him the advice that he's looking for. And then he just is at his all-time low. And God reminds them of a simple, beautiful thing of, hey, who started this whole thing? Like, who created this? Oh, it's me. Okay. So therefore, I'm still in control. And it's this beautiful conversation that Job has of, you're right, God. Like, the one who made the world also understands my situation and can relate and can love me and can give me grace in this moment. And then you also think about somebody like Elijah, which I mentioned yesterday, of this man who God used as a prophet, who God used to do mighty things, found himself under a tree and literally asked God in the midst of the deep depression, would you just kill me? Would you just go with, like, just end my life right here, right now? And God does what we should offer to people now. God, being his all-powerful, all-sovereign being, becomes this tangible way of loving Elijah by just saying, hey, just eat and sleep for the next couple of days. Like, I'm going to be here, but let me just give you food and let me give you shelter and let me give you a place to sleep for a couple of days, and we're just going to love you. Like, we just want you to be loved in this moment in the season right now.
Well, I'm so thankful that we can relate to people in the Bible. Of course, you know, Moses, the Ten Commandments, had the great mountaintop experience. And then you list in your book there that passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. Moses said, "Now, if you would only forgive their sin, but if not, please erase me from the book you have written." I mean, doesn't get much more blunt than that, does it?
Yeah, it's just, he was the closest to God that any of us will ever be this side of heaven. And he says, "God, I literally encountered you hours ago, but I don't want to be here." Like, if you're not going to forgive the people that I call family in my community, if you're not going to love them, then just get rid of me. And it's this idea of depression and those types of symptoms can come in the flip of a coin, when a lot of people think it's just this built-up thing every time. Yes and amen, it can be, but it can also just come in a spurt of an emotion of, man, this is my new reality.
Well, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, that, you know, sometimes Jesus is totally enough with Scripture and faith and prayer and journaling. But, you know, as I share my story numerous times over the past 2 years, also exercise, family, friends, and even medication for a season. So God does use lots of different ways to help people when they're struggling with depression. And I don't think in the church we've allowed people to realize that there are other things that you may have to balance out with your quiet time with the Lord. But I think in the time we got remaining here in a couple minutes is that I want to ask, you know, if people are like, okay, what do I do if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I'm struggling with depression. I'm so glad that you do embrace that, talk about that in your book. Share some of those steps.
Greg, I absolutely love that we're on the same page with this because unfortunately a lot of people aren't. But I think the main thing in chapter 4, which is the depression chapter of this book, is a lot of time we kind of self-medicate our friends or our people with Christian lingo, with that being like, oh, read Bible, or oh, like pray more, when that may not be the answer. And we're almost adding more guilt and shame to their depression when we try to give them advice that they've already tried. Because a lot of time when people reach out to you, they've already tried a lot of things that they know that you're going to tell them. They just don't know how to tell you that. And so then when you say, oh, do this, it makes them feel like they're a failure. When there's a tension between the Bible and science, which God is over, just as over the Bible as he is over science. And science has medication, which you talked about, that can help, that can subdue, that can really bring joy back into what seemed to be a very dark, bitter situation. So if you have a friend who's struggling with depression, don't be terrified of the research or the study of the products that have been made chemically, physically, as well as exercise to bring in the literal sunlight. That can help. Vitamin D can help in so many different ways, but also to encourage them to go to counseling, encourage them to go to medication, because God's not ashamed of that. God isn't like, oh, man, they made medication. I can't work with that. God works through everything and anything. Paul says in Romans, for the good of those who love him. And so sometimes it is offering them medication. Sometimes it is offering to drive them to counseling so they know that they're fully known and fully loved by you.
Wow, such good stuff. I can't believe we're already out of time, but I really want to encourage you, if you're struggling with depression, or you know somebody does, or any form of mental illness, he talks about if you struggle with being bipolar, this book's called The Leper in the Church by Lathan Craft. That's Craft, and you can get that on Amazon. Also, we're going to have all his social media contact information at the podcast that will be available later today at our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. But even though it is kind of heavy topics, it is an easy read. I mean, it's really understandable. Lathan really breaks it down. And I would encourage you to pick up a copy of this book at Amazon, The Leper in the Church by Lathan Craft. My name is Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.